This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning and happy race day at 8:06 along the Gulf Coast. It's going to be a chilly start to the day, but hey, guess what? There's still racing involved. How about the 24 hours of Daytona? It'll be on Fox, I believe, around 1 o'clock today, so make sure to get your racing fix at Daytona on. We've got the local stuff covered for sure today, thanks to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Mobile Regional Airport, all sponsors of the show. Coming up, Tim Bryant standing by. Tomorrow, a brand new course for the drifters. Yeah, they're doing the drifting competition on the inside of the road course at Five Flags Speedway. He's going to talk about that. They've added a brand new race. Yeah, the little one called the Rattler. That's going to be the opening of the Southern Super Series. That's going to be amazing to talk about. And of course, the awards banquet was last weekend, so we'll talk with Tim here in just a minute. Now, it's a little chilly outside, almost 40 degrees, but you look all around the country, there's nowhere else along the Gulf Coast or around the country you would think they'd be doing a driving school except for down here. And it's happening today. Joe McCardle with Sunny South Raceway's got the bandos out again, and pretty excited. So we got a full class. We'll talk about how you guys can learn or bring your kids out and actually learn how to drive without investing in the helmets and all this stuff. And I guarantee, though, you get in that car one time, I just know what's going to happen. And then Matt Weaver, he's actually on the road to another race. He's a columnist for Popular Speed and also one of our friends there with SB Nation. We're going to break down that new qualifying in NASCAR, how they've implemented that, more like an F1 kind of feel, and see how that goes as well. So lots to cover. So first of all, live and back with us for the first time, I believe, this year, it's Tim Bryant. So like I said earlier, Happy New Year, man.
Hey, a belated Happy New Year. Glad to be with you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you've had an exciting time on the 2 or 3 weeks of off-season that you guys call an off-season over there. You've done some work to the track, and not the oval, but the inside. And it's exciting because the Emerald Coast Drifters are coming back tomorrow, and it's actually a competition, and it's only $10 to get in, and you could sit right on the track almost. Tell us about it.
Well, I tell you, we've had a lot of fun over the last year and a half when we got hooked up with the Emerald Coast drifting crowd, and EmeraldCoastDrifters.com for anybody that might want to go there. There's some pretty cool YouTube video posted of the new course that will be debuting tomorrow. We're going to be using the old course and then trying out the new course. So everybody's geared up for the start of a new season, and I think we're going to have a good turnout. Should be a great day.
And it's only, what, I believe, $50 if you want to drift your car, and $10 after that. But this, $10 just to get into the pits, but this is a competition. This isn't a practice.
Yeah, this is a competition. Of course, we're going to have a division for the beginners. I mean, because everybody's got to start much like we do in our bomber division. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to have entry level, and then, of course, you know, we have the advanced division as well, and we're going to see some guys that really know their stuff as far as how to slide and how to burn the tires off.
Yeah, they do. And it's really cool. It's just like the movies. And the cool thing is also, even though it's a competition, I'll bring my racing helmet out, and a lot of times those guys, even if it's practiced before, they will give the fans a ride so they can kind of see what it's like. And have you been in the car doing that yet, Tim?
Well, as a matter of fact, I got a sneak preview just last week. Will Little came out.
Oh, yeah.
We tested the new course, and I got to make a couple of passes with him, and it's loads of fun.
It is cool. It's kind of amazing, and how fast they can swing those cars around. So, again, yeah, fans, if you get a chance, check it out. How was last weekend? Everybody was happy? The awards banquet looked like it was a great time.
Yeah, we had a good time. Expo Hall at Interstate Fairgrounds hosted our 2013 awards banquet. Of course, Garrett Jones, our pro late model division champion in the Allen Turner Series. Donnie Hamrick, the Home Depot Modifieds. Chopper Stagner, first-time truck champion at Five Flags Speedway. Of course, Steve Buttrick won the Beef O'Brady Sportsman Division. And Michael Nelson, the Butler, you pull up Bomber Division, crowned all those champions, gave away some great prizes, had a really good time.
Well, we got to get ready for this year. Obviously, there's a lot coming on, including you guys always every year have a swap meet. So what's the date on that, and what's going to be coming around the corner?
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's scheduled for Saturday, February the 8th. Of course, it's in the parking lot at Five Flags Speedway. No admission to get in. If you want a booth to sell some of your racing products, a $25 vendor fee is all. And it's pretty simple when you pull in the gate on Saturday morning. we register you. We have the parking lot laid out and sectioned off, and it's a big square, if you would, and folks just mill around, and you see a lot of selling, you see a lot of buying, and you see a lot of swapping, and that's what it's all about. It's a good time for guys to clean out those shops, look at the parts that they're not using, and turn them into cash that they can put into their 2014 racing budget.
Every year. Absolutely. You know, we were talking about Sunny South Raceway, how they've got the Bandolero School, and you've kind of got a school that comes around every once in a while. The Rusty Wallace Driving Experience, I've seen some of the folks that have drove those guys, some of the Bomber guys and some of the other drivers, they get hooked. And tell us about this experience and how a fan can actually drive one of these cars around the track. Because what a thrill. It's already a thrill on the Bomber. I couldn't imagine driving one of those cars.
Well, I tell you, it is great fun. They've gotten rave reviews. They're back in Pensacola on Saturday, February the 15th. RaceWithRusty.com will give you all the details as far as the pricing. They have a ride-along experience plus a driving experience, and it starts out with about a 30 to 45 minute classroom session, and then they strap you in the cars and put you out there, and of course they communicate with you over the radios. They're ARCA type cars, nationwide type cars is what they bring, they've been in business for a long time, and they are doing a good job, and they get a really good response on the Gulf Coast here.
Well, I'm looking February 15th. Ladies, I'm just saying, any race car driver guy would love that for Valentine's Day, but you better get her something good, too. That's all, you know.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think so. Now, let's talk about your baby, one of your babies, the Super Series. You've done so much in the past few years as a promoter just to try to get whatever you can to bring the circus atmosphere back to racing. You've taken over and helped out with Mobile International Speedway now for the second year with Miss Ida, and it's become a good marriage, I would say, there, as far as businesses go, and it's really helping with the fans in the stands, and the drivers are being listened to, and they're getting more reaction from you guys is what they want, you know, a good reaction. and the thing is now you guys have got the Super Series, and you've added the Rattler to it, and it's just another iconic race that's into this little thing that you came up with a couple of years ago. How does that make you feel as a promoter? Gosh.
Well, certainly I'm just one of the arms of many, and we've got some great promoters that came together and said, "Hey, look, let's work together and try to get common procedures and rules and programs so that racers will know what to expect when they go to various tracks, and see if we can help build super late model racing in the Southeast." And, after 1 year, I think we made a stride, and, we had the future is bright for the Southern Super Series. Adding the Rattler 250 as the season opener, I think, was a real feather in the cap and shows the strength that the series may be gaining. Of course, four races right here in Mobile and four at Pensacola adds to the schedule. The finale will be the All-American 400 once again at Nashville. That's an iconic event, and in the middle there you have the Alabama 200 at Montgomery, and of course the World Crown 300 at Gresham.
It's awesome.
It's really helped build the Southern Super Late Model Series, and from a selfish standpoint here on the Gulf Coast, it's given that series some real legs, and I believe it's going to enhance both the Pensacola and Mobile Super Late Model races, of course, the first of which is scheduled for April 25th and 26th.
There have been some rule changes, and I think for the good. Can you go into a little bit of that? And I even saw someone write up a story about it. I don't remember if it was on one of the websites or what have you, but they were talking about how you guys want to start with these new pit stops that are going to be happening, that you kind of want to have some protection for the drivers. And it's kind of like looking like a NASCAR field. Get the helmets, get some pads, because I know how it is. We've had workers get hit. Perfect example, Ricky Brooks, and it's every little bit that helps. Can you tell us a little bit about what were the decisions made and why you're trying to go that way?
Well, a lot of factors involved. Number one is we're trying to create more exciting racing for the fans. The format last year with the 125 lap races, there was a mandatory pit stop, a 10 minute break, if you would, at lap 75. That's been eliminated for 2014. There'll still be 125 lap races, and there will be a competition controlled caution at lap 75, where guys can go in the pits and service their cars without losing any position amongst those cars that went in the pits. However, different this year You're not required to take your tires there. You can do it earlier. You can wait and do it later. So it's really going to play some. The guy on the pit box will play a big role this year once the green flag drops in developing some strategy that might take a sixth or eighth place car and put it in victory lane.
Oh, that's perfect. I think that's going to be exciting. Tickets are already available and ready. And let's talk really quick also about the Arkamobile 200. Looks like it's going to be another huge event. I know they have their own website, arkamobile200.com, I believe. And it's really becoming an iconic race in itself, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It certainly is. And, of course, today is Senior Bowl Day in Mobile.
Yes.
There's electricity in the air. And in just a little over a month or 6 weeks, that same electricity will be in the air at Mobile for the Arkamobile 200. It's turned into a week-long of festivities.
Yeah.
Tommy Prater's done a great job
in
promoting that event. It starts with the battleship function on Thursday. Qualifying will take place on Friday. And, of course, the race is going to be on Saturday again this year. We'll have some local divisions racing on Friday night. So it's a great way to kick off what we think is going to be the most exciting racing season at Mobile in several years.
Well, I want to take one more thing and brag on a couple of your guys at the track. You've got your announcer, Robbie Harvey, been nominated for America's Best Short Track Announcer, which is awesome. And then our buddy Tom Wisely is up for the Best Crash Action Photo. And if you go to fiveflagspeedway.com, it's one of the fiery wrecks. I forget. I was there for that one. It was in between turn 3 and 4. Who is in that picture?
Troy Grisafi.
Yes.
And Cody Carl were
Cody
involved
Carl.
In that accident. Thankfully, both of them walked away.
Yeah.
Tom, of course, Johnny on the spot with his lens and got a great photo, nominated for Photo of the Year. Certainly would like to see those guys receive some accolades. Go to speed51.com. It's their what they call the 51s. It's an award for a lot of different categories. So certainly we'd like to cast our votes for those two guys.
Well, Tim, I know you got a coveted day off, if there is such a thing, but I know you're probably getting ready for that fun time tomorrow. Left and right. Now, fans can get out there about what time would the track open for the drifting?
The gates open at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll start sliding at 12. And once again, for folks that hadn't been, everything happens in the infield. No grandstands involved in this event. Simply drive through the pit gate. That's where we'll be selling armbands. And you can drive down tailgate. It starts at noon. We're going to have a driver's meeting, by the way, around 11:30.
Okay.
Start sliding promptly at noon and go until 4 or until everybody is lit out, as they say.
Can't wait. We're going to be there. Going to be a lot of fun. Tim, we'll see you tomorrow. And thanks, as always, for coming on and being a big part of the show.
Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
There you go. Tim Bryant from Five Flag Speedway going drifting slideways tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Hey, still to come, we've got a great interview with Matt Weaver. He's got lots to cover from some of that, the rule changes that we were just talking about with the Southern Super Series to NASCAR. And coming up next, it's time to go to school with Professor Joe McCardle from Sunny South Raceway. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much to Mobile International Speedway and Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Mobile Regional Airport being a big part of bringing you guys to show every weekend. And still to come, Matt Weaver from Popular Speed, columnist and journalist, also with SB Nation. You're going to talk about some of those changes, like we mentioned with the Southern Super Series. Also, just in general, a lot of stuff going on with NASCAR with, the changes in the qualifying. We've got a couple of video segments that we'll play a couple of minutes each that kind of goes through that and breaks it down as well at the end of the show. Now, I mentioned schools. Now, we already talked about the Rusty Wallace experience coming over to Five Flag Speedway, but how would you like to actually strap into something that you could probably afford to run and then learn with minimal cost? And that's what's going on again today at Sunny South Raceway, our own private Bristol, I call it, in our backyard. And Joe McCardle, professor, is back with us. And Joe, this has become something that's really a big thing. You've had people from Mississippi and businessmen come and check it out and say, "Well, I always wanted to drive a Legend or a Bandolero or what have you." And it's amazing. These guys are falling in love and might be purchasing cars. That's what it's all about. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And, yeah, you're right. Bottom line, there's a bottom line to everything. we after 6 years talking about it, we opened our school.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, Bandoleros, we just can't seem to get Bandoleros and the weather together.
Yeah.
So on the 11th, we had to cancel, but we had the rain date today.
Yes.
But going back to last Saturday, we had the Legend School, and yes, we had Ken Gates.
That's it.
Come over from Jackson, Mississippi. Now, here's a man that's never seen. Well, let me take it back. Let me quote him. I have never touched a Legend, and here I am driving one. And it was neat. We had Connor Ocresi and Robbie Johnson, who finished third in points last year. Well, over the winter, we built him a new big coupe. So what does he do? He says, we got to go to school and learn.
Oh, how about that?
Right. So we appreciate it. And as it turned out, we put him in the classroom, we walked the track, and we put him on the track. We were smart enough to use the transponders. We showed them their way, and then we showed them our way, and we compared notes. Ken Gates, who had never drove a Legend, spun out twice, and then we knocked a full second off the last transition.
Wow! From doing it your way to his way. Wow!
From running our line. And our pickup points, and he's not going to set no speed records.
For him, he is.
For him, he is, right. He's already ahead of the game. But like I told him, if you just hold your line lap after lap, the other people will know how to drive you and respect you.
Yeah.
There's the start right there. But, man, we passed out certificates, T-shirts.
Great.
And we feel good about ourselves. Man, I come away, as usual, with the big head. And then, you know, you're talking, you finally get to do something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you're right. And look at you're talking about him and just the expression. And anyone could do this. I mean, this would be a great gift, Valentine's Day. You guys got probably another couple schools coming up, but we were talking about that.
Right.
A great gift certificate, very affordable. And what a neat way to see if you really want to be a part of this. And I guarantee you, like I was telling Tim, you strap in one time, I know that guy's going to get a car. If it's not this year, it'll be next year.
He's already talking.
See, there you go.
Right. And we have a new deal out this year where, you know, first time in, if you don't have the money to buy the trailer, especially the out-of-town people, we will keep your car at the track.
Oh.
Keep the setup on it. Keep the oil changes, air pressure in the tires.
Wow.
And, man, he was all for that.
That's amazing. So you guys are now offering not only, you know, that you could buy a car, but you can rent a space in the garage area and be indoors.
You got it, bub. And plus, you know, we got a little team put together there. We'll keep you up front. Bring us the driver. We got the car.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. That's great. And that's just some of the, again, if you go online to sunnysouthraceway.org, you've already got the schedule up, but you're still working on some possible dates. We talked about the vintage cars coming again, which kind of look like the Legends on steroids, a little bit bigger.
Right.
You know, and that's going to be exciting. And I'm excited because I get to come back and drive there in that car.
Right.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Right, we have two dates for the Vintage Club. I'm presently working a deal with the Topless Modifiers, which we had once last year.
Wow.
And still got the Bombers in mind. I won't say yeah and nay now, but I'll say this. If you want to race with us, we don't say no. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. And trust me, on our side, we've been rallying the troops. And, there's a name, this J.J. Day guy. I don't know if you heard of him.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he's just, some scrub. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, J.J.
He's that rookie, isn't he?
Yeah, right. I don't know about that. He's got more trophies than whatever. But he wants to drive a bomber over at Sunny South Raceway. Tell me he wouldn't bring some excitement and fans over there.
I heard that. He started it.
Yeah.
That rookie started.
A couple weekends ago. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about the start date also. Let's talk about also the swap meet you got coming up.
Okay, 2 weeks from today, February the 8th, we're having our open practice, and we went another step further and turned it into a swap meet. So what we're saying is any type of race car part, used car, truck, bring it down there, all those parts you got laying in the garage collecting dust, bring them down there. Let's sell the parts. Let's watch some open practice, and we're going to feed you some hot chili.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can't get no better than that.
That's true. And then you guys are still in the process of working on the dirt track on the center of the track.
We've got a crew set up for next weekend to start moving poles.
Wow.
Well, actually, you've got to bore the holes under the track. The water and the electricity. But yes, we will have us a dirt track. Now, I will go so far as to say it won't be there opening day, March the 7th, we will have a dirt track.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Again, just a Friday, Saturday night racing. Oh, do you have any other schools or any dates in mind for people that might want to bring their kids out for the Bandolero or even themselves try the Legends?
Well, not at the present, okay. But I will say this. We're not going to wait until the hot months. We will post it, give everybody ample time to get their stuff together. And keep in mind, on the Bandoleros and Legends, mm-hmm. again, bring us the driver. We got your helmet. We got your suit, gloves. We got the car.
Yeah.
We got the shoes. Come on down.
And today, if you want to bring your kids out, what time does it start? Because you guys are going to let them in. You might have people that can't be in the school today but want to see what it's all about, and they're going to get it. Yeah. Get
right. The school starts at 12 o'clock today. Come on down and watch.
There you go. Joe, we appreciate you being a big part of the show, and as always, we'll get back with you in the next week or so and make sure that we get everybody lined up and keep us informed on them Bombers. We're trying.
We will, man.
Thank you, Kane. Absolutely. That's Joe McCardle again with Sunny South Raceway and school in session today. And again, take the kids out there. See what it's all about, those Bandoleros. These things are the next step up from carts, and they are fast. Some of these kids are running 60, 65 miles an hour faster than what the Bombers do out there. Coming up, Matt Weather. He's got lots to talk about, from pro late models to NASCAR. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5 and always podcast later today on the team's website, usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing. And they're out of Kannapolis, North Carolina. Glad to be on there for the third year representing the Gulf Coast. And what's great about these guys is we raise money and awareness for volunteer fire departments all around the world. So you really got to check it out and like them on Facebook. Again, usfdracing.org. Hey, still to come, we got some pretty interesting audio from NASCAR this past week, and just right off the website, so if you get a chance, you can probably check it out yourselves. But are you really talking about what they've done, the breakdown on the new qualifying that NASCAR's implemented? And it really is very familiar to what you might see in sports car racing, also what you might see in Formula One, which are classes that I love and love to see. So are the changes good? Are the changes bad? Well, I know one guy's got an opinion on it. Matt Weaver, actually on the road, columnist for Popular Speed, journalist with SB Nation, and always got a good opinion about something. What's happening, brother? Good morning.
Good morning, Kane. I just wish that we had something to talk about on this Saturday morning.
Yeah,
I guess we're going to have to talk about the weather.
That's right. Yeah, you had snow. We got plenty of snow. When it snows on the Gulf Coast, first of all, these guys freak out because they got a little bit on the road. Man, I was in Indiana a week ago, okay? I'm just saying, the ice, the snow, nah, it's nothing like that on the Gulf Coast. Yeah, we are blessed because we have lots of racing. First of all, you are now back on the road after your 4 days off season, I guess. And where are you going?
Yeah, I had like a week and a half to kind of rest and relax, and after like 3 days of it, I started, you know, pulling out what hair I have left on my face. But yeah, I'm off to Cordell, Georgia, home of Watermelon Capital Speedway. Big time super late model race going on this weekend. All of your usual heavy hitters that we see on the Gulf Coast from the Southern Super Series, the Snowball Derby, are in attendance. You've got David Reagan, John West Townley, Johnny Sauter, all mm-hmm. from the NASCAR ranks. They've come down. They're going to tangle up with Bubba Pollard and Mike Garvey and Daniel Hemric and that bunch from here on the Gulf Coast and on the late model side. And it's always a great show because Watermelon Capital is a 3/8 of a mile bull ring, mm-hmm. a lot like Mobile in that it has no walls.
Ooh.
We've already had one driver on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Drive right off turn three and go straight into the pond.
Yeah, so, that was Jones, wasn't it?
Brandon Jones.
Yeah, Brandon Jones. I couldn't believe it. I saw that picture, and I saw Bubba Gale wading in the water trying to get the car out. I'm like, oh, man, that's an iconic picture right there.
It's going to be that kind of weekend,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. What's so special about that track? Because it also has a lot of history.
Yeah, it's one of the great Southern tracks. For one, it's owned by the Reagan family. This is Marvin Reagan's track, which is David Reagan's uncle. You know, it's just one of the more beloved Southern Georgia racetracks. It's a race promoted by the CRA, and usually that's a Midwest tour. But they come down south once a year, get a bunch of the Southern drivers together. They get some NASCAR participation. and it really attracts drivers from all corners. Like I said, you've got the NASCAR bunch, you've got the Southern Super Series bunch, you've got the CRA regulars, and all told, when you put everything together, it's really got all the makings of everything that you like about short track racing. Oh, yeah. The track is so tiny, so treacherous. Guys are running over each other left and right, which I don't always enjoy that kind of racing. Yeah. But from a storytelling perspective, there are some storylines that come out of this race. Last year, Reagan and Elliott were battling for the lead, and got into turn three. Elliott cuts a tire, runs Reagan off the track, and so neither Georgia boy could win the race. And that was a big deal because, you know, yeah, they're NASCAR guys now, but, you know, they love this kind of racing, and this is the kind of race they want to win. Take that trophy to Daytona and say, hey, while you guys are hanging out in your motorhomes and waiting for winter to end, I was out kicking tail in Georgia, and I've got this cool trophy. So, yeah, Sunday's race is a big deal. The NASCAR guys want to win it, and the short track guys want to say, we beat the NASCAR guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of bragging rights there, and even when they come down here with the Southern Super Series. Well, I know you keep track of that event, and now a new event and a track to the schedule now, 16-race series with six tracks. New addition, the Rattler 250 at SAS or South Alabama Speedway in Op, Alabama, mid-March. That's huge. It's going to be a big event because the Rattler, we were talking already with Tim Bryant about it, just how special the track is. It's the 38th annual Rattler, for Pete's sake. And for gosh sakes, they even put live rattlesnakes out there, and they put a live rattlesnake around your neck when you get the picture. I'm like, man, I don't know about all that, but that's part of the tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm like Indiana Jones. Don't give me a snake.
Yeah, exactly.
You draw the line at that point. But yeah, I was listening to you and Tim talk, and he hit a lot of the major points about how special this Super Series is, especially with the addition of the Rattler. Yeah. You've got a tour now that has pretty much all of the great Southern late model races, the Rattler and the Alabama 200, the World Crown, the All-American. You've got a loose association with the Snowball Derby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you wanted to see from year one to year two is expansion and a little bit of change. And so we finally got that with the Rattler. I'm a little lukewarm on the pit stop rule. You got three guys who can go over the wall. I'm not sure, in my opinion, that, you know, fans come out to see racing on pit road. I think the guys should decide it on the track, let the race car drivers decide it. But if the promoters came together and their research says that fans want to see that element, I'm cool with it. I'm open to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out at the first 125-lap race at Nashville in April. The tour is just continually growing, and it's starting to get closer and closer to what, you know, the All-Pro, the Southeastern Tour was back in the 90s, or even the Georgia Asphalt Tour when it ran in Alabama and in Florida in the late part of last decade. And, you know, it's got that lineage. It's got Dan Spence now as the race director. This is one of the premier short track tours in the entire country, and I'm so happy that it's in our region because the racing gets no better, as you know, Kane.
Oh, my gosh, last year was great. Well, let me ask you, going back to the pit rule change, what they used to do is, as Tim said earlier in the show, around lap 75 of the 125 they run, they would have a caution. They bring in, 5 minutes, I think, is what it was, and they had a five-minute caution period where they lined up all the cars on front pit row, jack them up, everyone brought the stuff they worked out on there. That added a different spin, a different excitement level, but, I mean, these guys would, even the drivers would come out and jump out and try to make changes. They did so much at it. So I saw the excitement factor there. Are you saying that is better than having live pit stops?
Well, I enjoyed the 10-minute breather. For one, you know, just coming from a pure promotional standpoint, I kind of like having that 10-minute break because the fans can get up, go to the concessions, buy Coca-Cola, a beer, some pizza, whatever have you. But I enjoyed the invert. I think a good invert will fix everything in racing. You have the invert after the halfway break. You've got 75 laps to decide the winner. I thought it was one of the elements that made the Southern Super Series unique and cool. But anytime you have live pit stops, even if it's only a handful of guys that go over the wall, it takes something away from the drivers. I'd rather see cars and drivers decide these races. And now it comes down to, you know, pit who has strategy, better crew guys, and maybe you even have professionals. You know, when Preston Peltier comes down and runs some of these races, he works for Hendrick Motorsports. as his day job, and he always brings the number 5 Sprint Cup Series pit crew. And I just don't like that element, even for the Snowball Derby, just because it creates a difference between the haves and have-nots. But this is only a 3-person crew, and so, you know, I'm open to it.
Let me ask you about the safety features. Do you like the idea of the same thing now that they're going to be moving around as much? Like they're really wanting to implement, you know, the helmets, just like they have for NASCAR over the pit crew guys and stuff. And you know, I brought up the Ricky Brooks situation. Granted, he's not on the pit, but, you know, there's other people that I've seen get hit by that. And every little bit helps. Lord knows. I mean, it would be my luck to be there. What are your thoughts on having that extra safety equipment? Because I know some of these guys from South Alabama, I ain't going to wear that helmet. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, they had best get used to it in a hurry. The Southern Super Series mandated that this year they're going to recommend that anyone who does pit stops have a helmet, but it's going to be fully mandatory by 2015.
Got it.
And, you know, anytime that you can implement additional safety features for drivers, for crew, for fans, I'm the first one in line to say, you know, we need that. Mm-hmm. I was at Daytona last year for the big Kyle Larson crash where I saw his car get sawed in half. And, you know, that car was literally, it was like a buzzsaw right in half.
Man.
And, you know, parts were sent into the grandstands and the catch fence was all tore up, but there were no deaths. And I think that that's a testament to our continued commitment to growing the safety features of the sport. And that's beyond NASCAR. Anytime you can do that at the CRA, Southern Super Series, cast level, what have you, that's best for the sport. And so, you know, if we need to start looking at helmets or knee pads, you know, whatever, anything that the series decides is best in the best interest of safety, I am the first person to say, well done.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. Trust me, from someone that smacked that wall head-on at about 80, I like a little extra padding. Trust me.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we've got to take a quick break, so stick around. I know you're on the road, but I want to still get your point of view on some of the changes on NASCAR. Maybe we'll throw out the schedule for the great racing that you can watch this weekend, because I know we're all just racing nuts anyway, and I love the road course. So we'll touch on the 24 Hours of Daytona, too. Hang on just one second, Matt. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, and Kane Motorsports ready to hit the track within the next, month, I think, 5-6 weeks. Unbelievable. Wrapping up the construction on the car. Excited about that. And I got to thank all the sponsors again. McDonald's, all 74 Gulf Coast McDonald's are back on board with the Childhood Cancer Car. We've got some special things set up that we can't talk about yet, but it's going to be just major this year. So we're glad to McDonald's, and also our friends at Pull Apart right off the interstate there is 65 is on board as well. Bay City Collision, they're going to hopefully keep the frame straight for me. Also, we've got Bayside Insurance with 2 locations and insurance as low as $32 a month. Metro Glass and Mobile, Alabama Teen Challenge. We've got Mobile Regional Airport with nonstop flights to Chicago through United, and also Auto Painter Supply. A lot of other folks on there, and we appreciate them, including Fallsack Tire. So, again, it's going to be another great year, and we're excited. Now, as we're switching gears, we've still got our buddy Matt Weaver on with Popular Speed and SB Nation, and now we switch gears to NASCAR. And what a busy week it's been. Rolex 24 is now underway at Daytona. It's going to be on TV all throughout the day. Where can we watch that today, first of all?
Well, the race starts on Big Fox. So,
yeah. Big Fox.
Channel 10 here on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're going to have to check your local listings because it's going to be bounced around from as soon as the Fox broadcast ends, you can go to Fox Sports 2. But from there, it's going to be bounced around. But I can tell you, for those who just who just enjoy watching the finish, the end of the race tomorrow afternoon is going to be on Fox Sports 1. So watch the beginning, Big Fox, and then the end will be on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, and it's always just a great – I love the speed. We've got a friend of the show, Dion Von Moltke, that's racing, and he's a big part of it. He's going to come on after his experience because he's strapping into the car today. So we're excited for him and wish his team good luck. And he's a guy from Africa, but races for a team out of Alabama, and it's pretty cool. So we'll talk with him probably in the next couple of weeks. And I just like to hear his point of view and his accent. You know what I'm saying? They say we got accents, but – well, let's talk talk about what NASCAR is doing. First of all, let's hit the qualifying. Some people, I'm hearing more positive than negative. You know, this could bring fans back into the stands and actually get them to the track longer, selling more concessions for the track, this, that, and the other, because now they have little mini races. And you look at Daytona and Talladega, and these guys will probably, if they can, and I don't know why you couldn't, draft during qualifying to get fast times.
Yeah, you will be allowed to draft at the three races at Daytona and Talladega for qualifying. The new qualifying rule does not apply to the Daytona 500.
Right.
They're still going to have single car runs on that Sunday because you set the field by the two duels. Mm-hmm. And so that's essentially your qualifying race or your knockout qualifying. But I love the new NASCAR qualifying procedure. We're going to get into the possible new championship format in a second, and I hate that. So
yeah.
Here's the positive side of the conversation. This is essentially IndyCar and Formula One's knockout session, which is one of the best shows in motorsports, almost to the point like in F1, you know Sebastian Vettel is going to win the race. But, you know, it's always interesting to watch the battle for the pole because there are just more things at play because you get a crowded track. And it's the same way here on NASCAR for these ovals. You're going to have, for the bigger tracks, three sessions, short tracks, two sessions, and you're going to send cars out all at once. And the fastest, you know, for the big tracks, the fastest 24 will advance in the second round. And then out of those, the fastest 10 will go to a 5 or 10 minute session, depending on the size of the track, to determine the pole. And there's multiple reasons why this is good. One, it's going to fit within a perfect 1 hour television windows with commercial breaks in between the sessions.
Smooth.
And anytime that you can have that format where you just, you're not having one car go at a time, which
for
is
three
by
hours,
the way,
yeah.
For murder at Talladega and at Michigan. You can do this now within an hour. It's a wonderful little TV property. And, you know, it's going to shake things up. You're not going to have the same guys who are great single car pole sitters out there. You're going to have some guys catch a cloud all at once. Or you're going to get someone who gets caught up behind traffic and they burn their tires up. And you only get one set of tires for the entire, you know, 1 hour block, all three rounds. So do you want to use your tires up in the first round to hope you can get to the second and third? Or do you save it if you know you can easily get to the third? And so there's a lot of reasons to like this qualifying format.
Yeah, it does add a little twist to it. Now let's talk about how they've screwed up the championship race.
You know, this is all rumored. Until NASCAR announces something, it's all speculative. But I feel pretty confident that the story that Jim Utter wrote is accurate, to the point where I really believe that NASCAR floated that story. They leaked it to Utter just to gauge fan reaction, and boy, was the fan reaction.
Not what they expected. Yeah.
Right. I'm sure they might have suspected a little bit because, NASCAR fans are hesitant to change. But I think if it's the right change, like we saw with this qualifying format, fans are not just going to say, no, we hate it because it's not the way we've always done things. Mm-hmm. I think this qualifying change proved that. But if you give them something that I think lowers the integrity of the sport, that's when you get, you know, fans, you know, pushing back on it a little bit. So here's the deal. You're going to have a 16-team chase, if Utter story is correct. Anybody who wins the race is virtually guaranteed. So if Marcus Ambrose, who is 23rd in points, wins the road course race, he's in the chase.
Hmm.
David Ragan, who couldn't break into the top 20 in points, won a race at Talladega. He would have been in the chase.
Hmm.
And so if you have 16 different winners, they all get in. If you have more or less, then you start looking at the point position to determine who makes the chase.
But
this is where it gets a little convoluted. You're going to have eliminations, preset eliminations, in the chase for the championship after the third, sixth, and ninth race, to where after each one of those events, you're going to cut off four drivers.
Wow.
And by the time you get to Homestead, you're going to have four drivers still eligible for the championship, and you're going to reset all four drivers to zero, and whoever ends up in the highest position at Homestead wins the race. Two problems with that.
Yeah.
One, NASCAR has never been about one moment, winner takes all. It completely eliminates, you know, consistency from the equation. And I think consistency does matter over the course of a season. We saw it in the Southern Super Series. Daniel Hemric won by 1 point, despite less wins than Bubba Pollard, because you know, he was the more consistent driver. I think that matters. Winning should matter too, but I think NASCAR placed too great of an emphasis on it. My second problem with this proposed new chase, the sixth race, one of the elimination races, is at Talladega.
Now that's just
Wow, that's dumb. Telling me that we're going to have a race where there could be a 23-car pileup to determine who gets cut to make it to the next round?
It's like putting it in Bristol. It's the same thing. That's just not the smartest. I guess is that going to bring fans? What do you guys think? Is that going to be something that you really want to see your favorite driver taken out in the big one, and now he's not eligible for the championship? I think it's stupid.
Yeah, well, Brian France is so enamored with stick and ball sports. He loves football and he loves basketball, and so do I. But he believes that the reason NASCAR hasn't continued to thrive is because we haven't attracted the stick and ball fans. He believes that NASCAR is stronger when you have the support from ESPN. And so his approach, in my opinion, is that he's willing to sacrifice the racing fan for the stick and ball fan. And I think that is just a terrible misstep, because racing is an island unto itself, as you very well know. And maybe you get the baseball or football fan interested for a 2 or 3 year period like you had after 2001, but they will inevitably always go away. Yeah. And so I think that you're better served putting on the best pure racing product as possible.
Well, let me ask you.
It's your aero problem, you know?
Well, you talk about aero, and I got to cut you off real quick. We got about 3 minutes left of the show, and I just got somebody on Facebook. Douglas Pipkin says, "Hey, can y'all talk about the drafting in Daytona with the trucks in Nationwide and what they're stopping? What are your thoughts on that?"
I'm mad about that too, to be honest.
Me too. So, I hate it.
So they built a new truck for the truck series, and they made some changes on the Nationwide car. They cut the ears off the spoiler. If you remember the spoiler for the Nationwide car had the ears. They cut the ears off. They installed the new cooling system that were on the Cup cars onto the Nationwide cars. They thought that those technical changes would prevent the cars from linking up into two and producing the Love Bug style of racing. Man. That's not the case. The cars and trucks still want to link up into twos. And NASCAR has said that anyone who links up into two because it makes you go faster, we're going to throw a black flag on you. My problem with that is that NASCAR is essentially saying, we're going to throw a black flag on the laws of physics. These cars naturally want to link up. And you know, NASCAR told the drivers after Richmond, we want you to go 100%. Go 100%, but at Daytona and Talladega, if 100% means linking up into the tandem draft, well, we want you to go 90%. Don't push it so hard, because we don't want you linking up. I'm skeptical. I don't want to criticize NASCAR, but if they're going to float these rules out there, I think it's our job to look at the positives and the negatives. And those are my concerns. I love NASCAR. I want the best interest in the sport, but I'm very, very skeptical.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I know we've got about a minute left, so I want to just see. You're going to be busy again, so obviously Facebook, but even Twitter is where you want to find you and exactly everything you could be doing this weekend, because you're going to have some great stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kane. You can find me on Twitter, Twitter handle Matt Weaver, my name, Matt Weaver, SBN. Same thing for Facebook. It's facebook.com slash Matt Weaver SBN.
Your pick for the weekend at Watermelon.
You know, that place is such a crapshoot.
I know.
You know, anytime that Chase Elliott appears, he's the guy to beat, and he put in a late entry yesterday. Tungsten or not, I don't care. He's the guy to beat.
There you go. Well said. I appreciate you being on the show, and we'll definitely get you back on sooner than later, my friend.
Thank you so much, Kane.
Absolutely. Again, Matt Weaver always does a great job for us, and that's going to pretty much wrap up the show. Thank you to Tim Bryant again. Remember, now, tomorrow, drifting competition from noon to 4. The gates will open at 10. One of the cool things is you actually come to pull into the pits. You get a drive onto the track and park down there right on the track and see this. And it's a brand-new road course for these guys, so can't wait to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun. Also, thanks to Joe McArdle. Today starts at noon, driving school in the Bandoleros. If you've ever wanted to see what it's all about, just take the kids out there today. It's absolutely free in Grand Bay. It's just about 7 miles past the big track. And again, Matt Weaver always does such a great job for us. We can't thank him enough. And we thank you also. And thanks to all the sponsors. And we are ready to go racing. Trust me, I'm so excited about 2014. Soon, you'll see that Kane Motorsports number 5. And what a beautiful paint job she's going to have. We'll see you next time. God bless and stay warm.